Thank you all for leading us this morning. Well, good morning, and post-Merry Christmas and almost Happy New Year. Great to be with you this morning. I hope you've been able to enjoy time with family and friends. Our house is now empty, other than a lot of laundry, a few leftover cookies, but most of them are gone, so we're okay there. The last of our clan left at about 7:30 this morning, and so I feel like I just need to take a deep breath and just kind of gather a little bit. There's a lot going on this week. If you're a hockey fan, you'll know that Team Canada is doing well in the World Juniors, just squeaked out two wins in the first two games. If you're a parent of children, you'll know that you can look forward to one more week with all of them at home. So we pray for you. And then we've come to the last Sunday of the year. And I was thinking today about the theme of living between the times. We're not quite back to school with the children. We're after Christmas, but not quite New Year's. And there are some other ways, as we look at the scripture, that we can celebrate this theme of living between the times. But my week has been quite full, and I've been looking for a chance just to catch my breath a little bit in preparation for this morning. I still don't feel like I'm quite there, so let's take a moment of silence. You're listening this morning, not for my words, but for the words of the Holy Spirit, that He would teach us Scripture this morning. So let's just prepare to hear from the Lord this morning with just a moment of silence to prepare your heart. Spirit of God, help us to recognize your voice to us this morning. I want to invite you this morning to reflect a little bit on some of the things that the Lord has been saying to us in this past year. And after a little bit of a time of teaching, I want to prepare you just to think in terms of, we'll take some time in just breakout groups to think a little bit, to reflect a little bit, and then after that, if there's something the Lord feels, or that you feel the Lord wants to share with us, that we'll do that as well. But I want to begin by opening a passage of Scripture that I think invites the kind of reflection that's really appropriate for this in-between week, living between times. It's part of the Jesus birth narrative, although it's not the manger narrative. It's one of the first narratives that comes after that. It's the story that takes place about a month after the birth of Jesus, where Mary and Joseph take him to the temple. It's for what we would today call a child dedication. In the Jewish customs, after the birth of the child, you would bring him to the temple for certain rites and rituals. And it's interesting that as Jesus is brought to the temple, the story isn't about him. This is one of the Jesus stories that isn't actually about Jesus. It's about something unexpected that happened while they were at the temple. While the ceremony was taking place, God stepped in and did something unusual. And so I want to read, it's from Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in other words, he was a Jew that knew the prophecies that someday a Messiah would come. And he's waiting for that day, for the consolation of Israel. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him, which is unusual because this took place, again, this is about 30, 33 years before Pentecost. And if you remember before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wasn't on everybody. The Holy Spirit came upon individuals in the Old Testament, and you can think of lots of people that the Holy Spirit came upon. There were lots of prophets that he came upon. Kings were anointed. King David, the Holy Spirit was with him. So there's Elijah, there's Moses, there's lots of people. And if you think about all the people, and again, there are lots of them, but then think of the fact that all of these people spend 7 or 8 centuries of time, you begin to realize this was a really rare occurrence that the Holy Spirit was actually on someone. It was something that where God was doing something really important, really significant, and it seems that Simeon was one of the last people in this era where the Holy Spirit came just on an individual for a specific purpose. And so as the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death, he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah to come, and he gets this word from the Lord that you will not die until you see the Messiah yourself. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and this is what he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, you fulfilled your promise. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Now, again, this is in some ways a very unusual circumstance. The Holy Spirit revealed something really specific to him, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you are Simeon. Put yourself in his shoes and think about how would the Holy Spirit communicate something that specific to you? I mean, really specific. You may have sensed the Lord leading you before. If you're a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit has led you. So you've had the experience of being led to Christ by the Holy Spirit before, but something this specific. Imagine trying to hear that. What was that experience? What would that experience be like? Now, some of you may find it fairly easy to imagine this happening because you yourself have had experiences where the Holy Spirit has given you very specific leadings of some sort. It might be an image, a visual image, and in that image, there is this message that comes with it that's really clear. Or it could be a phrase. Sometimes it's just a single word, and you take your journal and you write it down because these words are not just 4 words. This is a phrase from the Lord that is filled with some kind of meaning. And so you've experienced that before, some of you. Others may wonder how this could possibly work because you've never really had something that specific in your life before, a really direct leading from the Holy Spirit. And yet, we can see that in Scripture, this is part of the biblical experience. There was a season in our church histories when all of this talk about the Holy Spirit speaking to us and leading us and giving us direction, it was perhaps a little too mysterious for our tastes. In fact, I would say we even feared these types of experiences. And the danger was, what if we hear the Holy Spirit wrong? It could lead to chaos. It could lead to false teaching. It could lead to all kinds of things. And so what we as churches in North America did, many of us, is we put up safety rails to make sure we don't come to that slippery slope where we just may fall down into something that's dangerous. And so we had this concern to maintain the truth of Scripture and the Word of God that was very honorable. But by having this concern of Scripture, it caused us to close a door that God had actually opened. We had a fear of being deceived that caused an overreaction to something that God actually wants for us. We limited the Holy Spirit to things that we could more easily and clearly understand. The fruit of the Spirit. That's good. Love, joy, peace. We understand those things. We understand they're good, and we can grasp them, and we want those things. We have the gifts of the Spirit, teaching, encouragement, serving. They're good. We understand them. They make sense to us, and so we want the Holy Spirit to do in us the things that we understand. There's no risk there. But the voice of the Spirit became a slippery slope. And we behaved as if it was best that we stay away from that edge. I can recall being in my teen years, and I was eager for the Word of God. I loved to read the Scripture, but I didn't understand everything. And I went to my pastor, and I said, teach me more about the Holy Spirit. Like, I have some questions about some of the language and the experiences. And the response was, I remember, very peculiar, because he basically put me off. I mean, he was gentle, but he didn't answer the questions. And in not answering the questions, it taught me something. This is something we don't talk about. Now, I didn't understand why. It took me a while to learn that there was a fear in the church that I grew up with that there's danger when you start listening to the Holy Spirit. I learned that. There was a slippery slope. You might hear incorrectly. And friends, this is one of the reasons it's so important that we learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of our four banners, foundational elements of being a follower of Christ, is discerning. That we discern the voice of God. We know how to discern Scripture, and we learn how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit just as easily as you could recognize the voice of a friend who calls you on the phone. You pick up the phone, and as soon as you hear the voice, without seeing the face, you know who it is. Every voice is distinct. And when you hear the voice, you can recognize the voice. But you only learn to recognize the voice by being in relationship with that individual, by developing a friendship, by learning the nuances of their voice. And so that's true with the Holy Spirit as well. So the response really should have been to spend more time with the Holy Spirit, not to separate ourselves from Him. Get to know His voice better so that we would not be deceived by a voice that is not the Holy Spirit. This is, in fact, the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." We know the timbre of His voice. We know the words of His voice. We know the types of things that He would say to us. The fact is that the Holy Spirit today is very active in speaking to individuals and speaking to His church. That this is a normal part of how the Holy Spirit leads us. And this was all part of what the prophets in the Old Testament spoke about. After the coming of Christ, this would be the case. The prophet Joel wrote these things, "And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Afterwards, after Christ. And so the fulfillment of this prophecy in Joel is for us today. We're living in this day where the Holy Spirit has come after the days of Christ. And God chooses to speak directly to his people, to encourage, to lead. But notice, it's not just like the prophets in the Old Testament. It's not just like Simeon, where the Holy Spirit speaks to one individual at a time. In this new day, it will be sons and daughters, old and young, men and women. We imagine our sons and daughters, and we think, oh, we're the teachers. We're the ones that can speak the truth of Scripture to them. But what if the Holy Spirit has a word for us through our sons and daughters? And so when our children or our friends are sharing an experience where they're saying, I think I'm hearing something from the Lord. If they're wondering if the Lord is speaking to them, how do we respond? Well, we should not fear the slippery slope. We should not discourage the work of the Holy Spirit because of fear. In fact, Paul teaches directly about this in 1 Thessalonians. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. All of them, not just some, but test them all, and then hold on to what is good. These are gifts of God to his children and to the church. And the gifts of God are things that we want to encourage. These are things we want to nurture. Back to Simeon. Simeon has this experience. We don't know how he had the experience. Was it through some kind of vision? Was it through direct words that he was able to write down? We don't know. But it was clear enough that he had a promise from God that he would not die until he sees the Messiah. Again, put yourself in his shoes. Having received this specific word from the Lord, what would you do with that? What was it like for Simeon to process, I will not die until this event happens? It raises some questions for us. And in raising these questions, there are actually some lessons for us in how we process the words of the Lord. Here's a question. How would Simeon have processed this word from the Lord? Did it mess with his mind? You start thinking, boy, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord's Christ. Do you go looking for the Messiah because this is the consolation of Israel and you know what's going to happen in your time? Do you go anticipating, looking with hope, or do you go, I'm going to stay away from the temple, because when that moment comes, I know from then on I could die, but I won't die before that time. So we have this very human side of us that goes, what does it mean if this word becomes true? And you have this spirit-led side that goes, what does it mean if this word becomes true, or when this word becomes true? And so we're processing these things. What did Simeon do? Well, the passage actually tells us that the Spirit led him to the temple. The same Spirit that told him this led him to the temple. I wonder if Simeon had any friends to process this with. The New Testament tells us to test the Spirit all the time, not just some of the time. We don't have to process these things alone. Sometimes we jump straight to some kind of a definitive understanding. This is what the word was, and this is what it means. The Scripture says, test it. The Holy Spirit is not offended when we try to honor the truth of what he's saying to us by asking for counsel from other believers. He's not offended by us seeking to honor truth. In fact, he encourages this as a way for other people to join in the message from the Lord. And so we discern in community, and we discern in community. And the things that are from the Lord, we receive with thanksgiving. And the things that are not, okay, that's okay. We've learned something, we've discerned, just like the Scripture tells us to do. I've had a number of friends over the years who were learning to receive messages from the Lord. Some of them visions, pictures, I would call them images more than visions. Some of them words, specific words. And we realized that these people needed a safe place to talk about what the Lord was saying to them. We agreed that the gift of a word from the Lord, that this gift needs to be developed just like every other spiritual gift. When spiritual gifts are given to us, we still have to develop them. I was 13 years old when people were affirming in me that I had the gift of teaching. Well, I wasn't ready to get up and preach before a church regularly. I had a lot of preparation to do. I had a lot of learning. So the church created safe places for me to do that. They let me go to the Union Gospel Mission in downtown Vancouver, and I began preaching when I was 13. Safe place. It's good for us to practice. It's good for us to make mistakes. We learn from these experiences. And so we want to create safe places to discern what the Spirit says to us. And again, I wonder, did Simeon have a safe place? Did he have people? Or I wonder, did he hold this to himself? Another question that comes to me when I think about Simeon, how long do you have to hold a word from the Lord? What do you do with it when you get a word from the Lord and there's no sense of timing? I wonder, how long ago did this word from the Lord come to him? Was he an elderly man that he knew that, you know, his day was coming, but it wouldn't come until he saw the Lord's Christ? Or did it come when he was 30 years old and he held this for 30 years? Did the angel appear to him, or the Holy Spirit speak to him the same night an angel appeared to the shepherds in the field? Was this a 30-day thing? We have no idea. There's one thing that the Old Testament prophets can teach us about this. It's that a revelation from the Lord is not the same as a timeline from the Lord. Most of the prophecies of Christ that we have celebrated over the last number of weeks leading up to Christmas, most of those prophecies are more than 5 centuries old. 5 centuries before their fulfillment. Why would God give a vision or a message so far in advance of the fulfillment? Because clearly, it's not about the imminent timing of an event. So what is it about? I would suggest it's this: how to live into a truth that is not yet seen. How to trust the Lord for something that he is unfolding but has not yet unfolded. This is, in fact, a central lesson about experiencing and living in the kingdom of God. It is both present and not yet. And the extent to which we live into the present experience of the kingdom of God is also the extent to which the kingdom of God unfolds within us. It is living between the times, the promise, the fulfillment, and yet we live in the experience of it today. It reminds me of a passage in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So in this passage, there are what I'm going to call three seasons of Christ. The first is, right at the beginning, the grace of God has appeared. That's what we've just celebrated. The grace of God appearing in Christ for our salvation. It's his birth, it's his death, it's his ascension. The second season of Christ is what we're living in right now, where we say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and, on the other hand, we live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This is our age. And then we have the third season of Christ, where it says, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so again, we're living between the times, between the time of his appearing, the time of his appearing again. We live in the present age of Christ. This is the same unique challenge of receiving a word from the Lord. The godliness, saying no to worldly passions, that's true. But what I find to be more difficult is to live self-controlled lives when you have some insight or a promise. To be self-controlled and not get too eager about the fulfillment. This is hard. But the same Spirit who gives you the vision, the word, the phrase, it's the same Spirit who gives to you and to me the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. It's the same Spirit. So as we receive the word from the Lord, we can also receive the self-control from the Lord to wait for his fulfillment. We have a lot of things as a church that we've been thinking about over this past year. And it occurs to me that we're in this season of in-between. We're living between the times. We know some things that are coming, but we don't know when they're coming. We know there are changes in our near future, but we don't know when they are. And sometimes it's hard to practice self-control. We're eager to receive what the Lord has for us. And so I thought this morning it might be helpful for us to remind ourselves, what has the Spirit said to the church, to our church? And what does self-control look like in this season for us? Are there things in the last 20, 30 years of the church? Are there things that the Lord has spoken to us in the past that we would do well to recall, that we would be reminded of the things that the Lord has said to us? And then, is the Spirit perhaps saying something to the church today? Is there something that the Spirit would say to us this morning, as we bring this year to a close and as we begin to look forward to things in this new year? And so what I want to do is take a few moments and ask that we go into some breakout groups. And I want to ask you to think about three questions. You can think just about one of these if you want, or all three, or pick. But for the teaching part, what does the story of Simeon teach us about God? What does it say about God that he's behaving the way he was with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, what does that teach us about God? What does the story of Simeon teach us about people? How we receive these things. And then perhaps you might have a sense as you're talking about these things that there's something the Lord would want to say to our church. In our season of self-control, is it a reminder of something he said to us in the past? Is there something new that the Spirit would say to us on this particular day? As we bring this year to a close, what would the Spirit say to us? And so with those three questions before you, again, take one of them, take all three. But let's take a few minutes in breakout groups. And again, this is a safe environment. We will talk, we'll discern, and then after I'll just call you back together and let's just see then, is there what the Lord might have for us as we take a few minutes to share, if there's anything that might be appropriate to share. So let's go into breakout groups for a few minutes and then I'll call us back in just a little while. Good to see you, man.
Am I? No.
I'm not sure if I'm on. All right, let's pull ourselves back together for just a few moments. You know, it's interesting in the story of Simeon, at the end, what he says at the end of it all was, okay, God, you did what you said, and that was it. You fulfilled your promise to me. That's it. I've seen your salvation. You said I would. And you think, why is it so important that God would say that to someone? And to me, pondering these things just reminds me of how important it is that we listen to God for what he wants to say to us, not necessarily for what we want to hear from him. So maybe you spent a few minutes on the first question. What does this passage, the experience of Simeon, teach us about God? Any insights that would be encouraging for all of us to hear? What did you talk about? Okay. Sorry? Yeah, God kept his word. Yeah. You know, I'm going to get the mic, but yeah, anyone else? Anything? Just what does it say about God that he would communicate in these ways? Or what does it say about us as you think about this? What does it say about you, your ability to even hear from the Lord? Any insights on just how this applies to us as people or as individuals? Travis, we're going to get the
testing.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, basically, we just kind of talked a little bit about how God necessarily doesn't talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he specifically would pick certain people, like Mary or Simeon. Like, he does work through specific. So, you know, if we need a word for our church going forward, it's not necessarily that we're all going to hear, but God can use specific people within our church to help us navigate.
Yeah. Excellent. And sometimes it's just for that person. Like, I'm not sure anyone else heard this word from Simeon, other than we wrote it down and we have testimony that God confirmed his word to Simeon. Anything else?
Right, Norm back here. The last one, what might God going to say to our church in the new year?
Thanks, Brian. Anyone else? Anything that the Lord might want to encourage the church with this morning? I'm sorry, there.
Every time I hear this story, I'm just really struck by the fact that God took this opportunity to confirm to not only Mary and Joseph, but to Simeon, that he was going to do something really big. If you read the words that Simeon says, like, what he says is really big. Like, it just doesn't just impact Israel. He's talking about the whole world. And so I know for my personal experience after having a baby, there was things that were said, and I was like, did that actually happen, yeah, right? And then having a nurse come back in and say, yeah, that actually happened. So this would have been like God confirming for everybody there that, yes, this is actually what he had planned.
Yeah. Thanks, Rosalie. Anything else? Let me just share what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that the Lord wants to speak to his church more. And so I've been preaching, teaching for over 40 years. And I always used to say, especially to young people that were learning to teach, with respect, we really don't care what you have to say. We need to hear what the Lord has to say through the scriptures. And so make sure that what you're teaching is the scriptures. And so with that as a guide, it forces you always to go into the scriptures. So whatever you're teaching, it's from the scriptures. I feel like we're going into, it's almost like a step beyond that. Let the Holy Spirit teach the scriptures, and I need to step out of the way a little bit more. Which means it's not that I won't teach, but like even preparing for this morning, this was not what I was preparing. I was preparing a very normal teaching on Simeon and just reflecting, and God fulfilled his promise. And as I was preparing, it was like, we're going in a completely different direction. And I'm going, okay, if I'm going to actually ask the Holy Spirit to teach more, then I need to listen more to what he's teaching. And I just have the sense that the Lord really wants to speak to our church, and that we need to create safe space for that. And so that's my sense of what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Let me close in prayer. James, if you would come up and lead us with your team. Holy Spirit, we want to make room for you. We want to be a place that welcomes you and your word, both through the scripture and through words of encouragement that you would give to your people. And so we invite you to bring us into safe places and relationships of discernment, where we could talk about the things that you, O God, are doing in our lives, and that you might be doing in our church, that we could risk talking about them, and that we could test these thoughts among one another, and we could hold on to what is good, what is from you, and just do away with the dross, the things that have no value. And so, Father, as we bring this year to a close and as we enter into a new year, I pray that you would teach us that more and more. Help us to be listening to your voice. Just as the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, may we know your voice to us in this coming year. I ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. We are God's kingdom people. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening.